Brokaw with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
720 WGN. That music means the one thing that we know that music always means.
True.
Adam Kinzinger, he's a congressman. He joins us. He's our official congressman. Mm-hmm. We have our official alderman. And I was just, Brendan Riley, I don't know if you know him, Adam, but he's an alderman here in Chicago downtown, and I'm trying to get a pot store downstairs in our building.
In the building, as one exception to the downtown business district zone rule that may be passed, we want one right here.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that might be.
Well, the good thing is that'll, like, cancel out the alcohol, so it'll be a show that makes sense.
Oh, he takes a shot. All right, now that you've fired the first shot. All right, well, okay, so speaking of shots, let's talk about a serious subject, which is Iran. So here you got the Secretary of State has just landed in Saudi Arabia. He's in Riyadh. He's talking to the you know, all the people who run that joint. And he said that what happened there was an act of war. And you actually had somebody from the White House earlier today say that the Saudis consider this to be their 9/11. I don't think that's an appropriate way for them to feel or for the White House to say, but it is what it is. Do you think we're heading toward conflict here?
You know, it's hard to tell. I do. I mean, there's no doubt it's an act of war. And, you know, I haven't seen all the information yet, but from what I'm hearing, very confident this came from Iran. And I'll tell you, we have really good ways to tell and, you know, historical evidence, et cetera. But that said, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt if Iran attacked a Saudi oil facility, taking half of the, you know, Saudi production offline, that's an act of war. You know, same with shutting down, frankly, the Straits of Hormuz. That's an act of war. Now, what does the response, you know, what is the response is a different question. And I think, you know, there's any number of options we have on that. But I do think there needs to be some level of response.
Okay. So I guess the big question is, and we've done that. We've done things, you know, throughout the years. I mean, you go back, you know, in the last decade or so, whether we, you know, reversed their, or, well, let's say we, the, their centrifuges got reversed, while they were working on right through magic, mm-hmm. While they were working on, you know, nuclear fissile materials. There's other ways to kind of handle that in a, not a kinetic way, right?
But I think there are a couple options here. Here's the problem. So, from what I'm hearing, and again, I just read this in open source, too, there was likely a cyber response to this drone shootdown. Keep in mind, the drone shootdown, that was a $150 million asset. That's like losing 10 F-16s in terms of cost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the size of an airliner. So what's happened is every time when the president pulled back, I think that emboldens Iran. Iran is going to keep doing this stuff. They're not going to stop. And so I think the couple of options are a few things, frankly. Number one, you can take out the assets that Iran used to commit this airstrike. Very proportional response, similar to what we used to do in Northern and Southern Watch in Iraq. Second option, take out some of Iran's oil facilities, right? That is an opportunity, again, a proportional response. Or what I think is actually more proportional is to actually go after Iranian troops and assets in other countries like Syria. So think about this. Iran, in essence, attacks the United States through Syria or through Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a message intended for us as much as anybody. We have plenty of Iranian targets in Syria right now, and not only would that send a strong message to those targets in Syria and to the Iranians, it would also have a real impact on a very strong humanitarian crisis there. So I think any number of things are an option, but I think to do nothing is only going to invite the next attack, whatever that is.
Congressman, what about sanctions? Because that's what the president and Secretary Pompeo are talking about. More sanctions will be announced within the next 48 hours against Iran. That's going to be, at least it seems, the initial response to what's going on here. Monday, he was talking about taking some sanctions off the table in order to have a meeting with the Iranians. But today, loading more sanctions onto them as a response to this.
Yeah, I don't know what's left, but I'm sure there's some things. And I'll tell you, if you know, when the president's talking about lifting sanctions to talk with Iran, and then Iran does this, it needs to be clear to people that Iran has no interest in negotiating or talking with the United States. They're hurting really bad right now because of what the sanctions are doing, and I think we're willing to talk to them about a nuclear deal that includes their behavior in the region as well as some other things. But this isn't new for Iran. I mean, all you have to do is look back to basically 1979 on. And you can point to Iranian attacks against American proxies or against America all over the world. And the other thing I want to say is this. For those that are talking about Yemen all the time, Yemen is an important thing, and it's a humanitarian crisis. But let's not put this humanitarian crisis on the United States or Saudi Arabia. The reality is, I was in Yemen just a few months before that government was overthrown by the Houthi rebels. Iran puts all kinds of weapons to the Houthi rebels. They hide these weapons in the middle of town so that when they're bombed, people are killed. And Iran has not given $1 of humanitarian aid to this crisis. We have, and somehow we have people here in the United States that are blaming the United States and Saudi Arabia for the tragedy in Yemen, and it's not that. It's the Iranians.
Okay, so I want to go back to this point about a response, and if you do a symmetrical response here that is a military response, should we be doing it or should the Saudis be doing it?
Well, I think it has to be us, because if the Saudis do it, you just basically start a World War III in the region. It's the same as, you know, if Israel would strike back, you know, when the Arab-Israeli tensions were extremely intense. The United States has the capability to overcome air defenses of Iran, and frankly, this is an attack that affected us too. I mean, look at what it's doing to free commerce. Look at the threats in the Straits of Hormuz. If Saudi Arabia does this, I mean, it's literally going to be, I think, a massive regional war.
The actions you described earlier about the attacking on their oil facilities or on the area where the attack on our drone originated, today the foreign minister just this afternoon from Iran released a statement saying, we seek de-escalation, but will deliver a crushing response to any military action or evil action taken by the U.S. That was just words. Should that be taken seriously? How do you process that when you hear the Iranians say
what
that?
What capabilities do they have anyway?
Yeah, it should be taken seriously, you know, but they said the same thing when we struck twice in Syria, and they've done nothing. Keep in mind, the Israelis strike Iran all the time in Syria, and it doesn't even make news anymore because it's so common. Iran has capabilities to energize proxies in other areas. So Lebanon, you know, with Hezbollah, they have Iranian assets, or Shia regimes, Shia militias, basically, in Iraq. So they do have options, but they know... I mean, they're smart people. They know that an escalation will result in, if it's a proportional response by the United States, finally, keep in mind, we had every right to respond last time, and then they escalate, the world opinion will turn against them, and we do have massive responses that we can do in response to an escalation. Nobody wants to get there, but the point is, if we continue to not do anything, then I think this is going to escalate. You know, it's the old idea of peace through strength. Sometimes if a bully keeps punching you in the nose, you got to hit him back and he's going to quit punching you. And if he decides to fight, you just beat his face in.
Do they have capabilities that extend beyond, do you think, beyond the region? I mean, obviously they could lob missiles, you know, across the straits right at Saudi. So that can happen. But in terms of touching us here, I mean, how much of an escalation of this would we be worried about as, you know, other than terrorist attacks, right, here?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, the terrorist thing, yes. I think the Iranians have less kind of sleeper cells in the United States than we used to fear. Now our biggest concern is like Al-Qaeda or ISIS. There are American troops that would potentially be in harm's way. You know, I spent two miserable weeks in Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, and that's within missile range as well as some other bases. We have some pretty solid, rock solid air defense. And again, I think any kind of an attack by Iran would, on a U.S. installation would just result in complete devastation. And they know that. And look, they're not suicidal. They don't want to be out of power. But at this point, they think they can keep doing these things. I don't understand fully why they think they can, but they think they can keep doing these things without a response.
Yeah. But I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but in terms of Syria, you know, obviously the president, and this seems to be an issue, Mattis's new book that has come out, you know, they talk about this, about, you know, unilateral withdrawals of our forces, whether it was, you know, Iraq or Syria or any of those places, or potentially in Afghanistan. Do you think it's wise for us to decrease our presence in the region?
No, and here's the thing. You know, whether it's Syria or whether it's Afghanistan, we don't think a lot about terrorism right now because we haven't had a terrorist attack in this country in a while. There's a reason. It's not because terrorists have gone away. It's not because they've changed their goals. It's because we fought them over there. And we fight them with really tough men and women in uniform with a lot of cool equipment that can do it. And so it's kept us safe. You know, this is a generational fight. And so we always kind of have this problem where when terrorism or something's not on the front burner, we think we don't have to do anything anymore. And then we find out, like we did on 9/11, that, in fact, they're planning even when we're not. Syria, by the way, has been the textbook of exactly what some of the anti-interventionalist people have been saying, which is, hey, use special forces with local forces to empower local forces to do the fighting. That's exactly what we've done in Syria to great success, taking out ISIS. And so the idea that the American people are screaming to leave Syria is simply not true. This is an example of, frankly, how we should be doing war so we don't have to send 200,000 troops in to do it for us.
All right, and the other story here that is gaining momentum today is the is Adam Schiff, the other Adam. That's the way how they refer to him on the Capitol Hill.
You know.
Is requesting he wants information on this whistleblower at the office of the Director of National Intelligence, and it's not forthcoming. And, you know, we'll see where that lays. Are you, as a member of Congress, are you concerned about the executive branch's lack of cooperation with the oversight responsibilities that you guys on Capitol Hill have?
Yes and no. So, yes, in that, you know, we do have a role. And on a lot of things, the administration is very cooperative. You know, we get Secretary of State in front of our committee, you know, assistant secretaries, et cetera. But here's the problem. They've made it clear that they just want to go after the political side of this and impeach the president, have impeachment hearings. Everything is a scandal in their mind. And so I think there's a point at which the administration has to push back. Every whistleblower has a right to be heard. That's the law. But look, Adam Schiff, to be quite honest with you, the guy that has information, quote unquote, that's going to guarantee the impeachment of Donald Trump, that's never brought that forward. At some point, the administration has to resist and push back, and I think that's what they're doing. But I don't know this story all that well. That's kind of news to me.
Okay. All right, Congressman Kinzinger, thank you very much.
Thanks, Congressman.
Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye. There he goes.
There he is.
All right. Let's now check in with Jen DeSalvo. She has got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
I'm going to talk more about pot. It's going to be legal in the state of Illinois, but the mayor doesn't want it sold downtown.
She's wrong about that.
I'm going to tell you all about it.
Yeah, she won't return her phone calls.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. All right.